is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for being tuned in, locked in all over the country. Happy Tuesday. We already been hanging out for an hour. Where have you been? The show gets started every weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. We appreciate you for listening, because if you're not here, there's no JR Sport Brief Show. If you're not listening, there's no Infinity Sports Network. We need you to be here, and we appreciate you, okay? And we've discussed a lot in the first hour of the show. Talk some college football, looking at everything over the weekend. Thank you so much to Dan Wolken for joining us. Covers all things college football for Yahoo Sports. We talked about the AP poll, the Ohio State University sitting at the top. We got it to Bill Belichick being humbled right out of the gate with North Carolina. We talked about Arch Manning and his ugly performance to start things off as the quarterback for Texas. And then we talked about the fact that the NFL is getting ready to start up 2 days away. The NFL starts on Thursday. Cowboys, Eagles. Friday, we got the Chiefs. We got the Chargers. And then, damn it, we got a full slate of action on Sunday. NFL football is about to be back, just like college. And we have so much more to get into. Hey, we got Grant Hughes joining us to talk about that humbling Bill Belichick experience last night. Next hour, we'll have a conversation with Bill Huber. Covers all things Green Bay Packers for Sports Illustrated. And then in a matter of minutes, man, this Michael Parsons scenario, it just continues on. Every single day, something new. If you want to be a part of the show, you can. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online. I exist everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. Simple as that. I'm on the internet. I'm everywhere. Now, we got to get into this Jerry Jones situation. Because it was always going to be a matter of he said, she said. Who said this? Who said that? We know Michael Parsons is now a member of the Green Bay Packers. It's kind of crazy to think about. Got this gigantic contract. 4 years, $188 million, $136 million guaranteed. He got traded for 2 first-round picks to the Packers in exchange for defensive tackle, Pro Bowl defensive tackle, Kenny Clark. Man, it was just like a month ago, more than a month ago. Jerry Jones says, I'm not trading Michael Parsons. And then he traded him. We heard from Micah. He says, yeah, I had a conversation with Jerry earlier this year, and I thought it was about leadership, and it ended up being about a contract. And I said, hey, talk to my agent. And Jerry says that we had a deal. Well, damn it, his agent spoke today. David Mulligetta, the guy that Jerry Jones swore up and down the whole time was not necessary for a deal because he wasn't going to be one signing his name to the contract. The guy who said, I don't even know his agent's name. Well, David Mulligetta spoke to the media today. Damn it, he was on ESPN. And he did a lot of talking about what took place, specifically about the contract, that private conversation. Listen to what David Mulligetta had to say about Jerry Jones having that chat with Micah.
Definitely. You know, as far as Micah's concerned, he was out of the country. He got a call from Jerry's assistant and was asked to come in to meet about leadership. So when he got back from his vacation, he came in and he gave them a call, told him he was back. He was ready to meet. At some point during that meeting that was represented to him about was going to be about leadership, it turned into contract talk. And, if you're a 25-year-old football player and your boss, who happens to be the most powerful person in the NFL, starts talking about contracts, it's hard for you to end that conversation. So they had a conversation. Micah nodded his head out of respect. Obviously, there's a power dynamic that's a little different there. One guy is the owner of the team and the GM. And the other one is Michael Parsons, a young 25-year-old football player. So I'm not sure if there was a miscommunication there by the time Micah walked out, but at no point did Micah believe that he was negotiating a contract.
Man, that's foul. Like, it sounds reasonable for everybody to believe this is what took place. I don't think Michael Parsons was trying to flim-flam Jerry Jones. I mean, Jerry Jones is the one trying to get a deal on the guy that he's trying to pay. And so it sounds more than reasonable given what we've heard from both sides, from Jerry Jones, from Michael Parsons, from David Mulligetta, that, yeah, they obviously discussed something contract related. Michael Parsons didn't expect this to be something where, oh my God, now I wake up and we've agreed to a contract. And Jerry Jones, just by his own words, he's been disrespectful and he's been dismissive when it comes down to David Mulligetta. Not knowing his name, saying that he's unnecessary, Jerry Jones tried to pull a power play in the media, in public, and then ended up biting him in the ass. And now Jerry Jones looks, well, not looks, he sounds like an idiot when he's sitting at a press conference and saying things like, you know what, our run, stopping the run was bad for us and the Dallas Cowboys. And now that we moved on from Mike and we get a Pro Bowler in at Kenny Clark, we're now going to be a better team. Man, when you got a guy like Michael Parsons in your building, you don't let him go. That's the issue. The thing is, you want a guy like Michael Parsons on your team. You can have a Kenny Clark. Yeah, he's a Pro Bowler, but you can get a guy in who can help you stop the run. Guys like Michael Parsons are even more rare. There's a reason why Michael Parsons got this big old deal and big contract from the Green Bay Packers, because the Packers understand if we get a guy like him in, and the Packer fans know this with a Reggie White, if we get a guy like him in, he can be the difference maker from us winning a championship. Apparently, Jerry Jones is more interested in winning headlines and boosting his valuation than winning. He is delusional. How about this? I'm sure this doesn't feel good for the Dallas Cowboy fans. David Mulligetta says that Michael Parsons wanted to be a Dallas Cowboy first.
I think the most important thing is that Michael wanted to be a Cowboy, right? You know, he grew up cheering for the Cowboys, you know, wore the blue and white at Penn State, wore it in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys. He wanted to be a Cowboy. And we did everything we could for him to remain a Cowboy. We reached out, and like you said, I don't really do these interviews. We try to keep the negotiations out of the media. But in this case, so much information has been put out there that we wanted to just address a couple of things. But as far as Michael is concerned, he wanted to be a Cowboy. We did everything we could. And sometimes you got to be a little careful with what you read in the media as far as what was offered to Micah, the guarantees that were offered, the APY that was offered. There's so much that goes into an NFL contract. If you look at many of these contracts that the Cowboys have done over the past few years and the recent ones, you know, the guarantees don't stretch much further than the first new year. If you look at Micah's current deal, he has guarantees into, you know, 4 years from now. So, again, there are certain things that have been put out in the media to make it look as though Micah turned down a fair or a great deal, but that's simply not the case.
Well, we know Jerry Jones is a master manipulator. We know Jerry Jones is someone, and like a lot of people do, as David Mulligetta mentioned, Jerry Jones is a guy who tries to negotiate in the media. He wants the attention. He wants to try to bully his players, and so he can go out there and have the best deal, but then also, you know, he just wants the attention because he knows the attention equals money. But Jerry, it does not equal winning. Michael Parsons, he did have his press conference as well up in Green Bay. It was crazy to see him up on the stage with the G behind him, just completely looked out of place. It's going to take some time to get used to seeing Michael Parsons in a uniform that doesn't include the star on the side of his helmet. He was very short and simple with some of his responses. This is what Michael Parsons had to say about his trade ultimately from the Cowboys.
You know, I wish, you know, things didn't have to be like this, you know. But, you know, I'm happy for this opportunity. I'm happy to be here. And, you know, I'm ready to win some games.
Well, I expect the Green Bay Packers to win some games. I know Jordan Love is certainly appreciative of the fact that he now has a game wrecker on the defensive side of the ball. And now that he's in Green Bay, Micah, well, did he have a say? Did he have any input in being moved from Dallas to Green Bay? Could he go on somewhere else? Listen to what Micah said.
Nah, I didn't have any say. It was just, you know, I would say I'm pretty lucky because I understand the rich history of the Packers and the fact that they had interest in me and understand that they had a pretty tough team already in the NFC, and I was pretty much geared up, ready to play them, looking for revenge. But now I'm on the other side of adding to this rich history and being able to play with these guys.
Ooh, revenge. Packers take on the Dallas Cowboys. The Packers are in Dallas against the Cowboys. Week 4 of the regular season. We don't have to wait too long to see Micah Parsons out there chasing around Dak Prescott. And let's be real, Dak doesn't move the same way that he used to. And if I were a betting man, if I had to say that Micah would get him more than once, at least once, I would go ahead and take that bet. If there's one game that he is going to look to be out there destroying somebody, it's going to be against the Dallas Cowboys. It's going to be one of those games that Jerry Jones is going to sit up in a skybox and, well, Micah is probably going to wreck Dak. And Dak talked about this entire situation as well. He was asked, is he surprised that Micah got moved?
I can't say I was completely surprised. But I definitely didn't think he was going to get traded. I'll say that. But just with the way that their negotiations went down, obviously, to some extent, I mean, hell, y'all were asking me questions. It seemed like it got personal on their ends. So, like, that's why I wasn't surprised. But, yeah, it was a very public issue that everybody could look on the internet or ask somebody or ask one of y'all and get a lot of intel or feelings about it that, like I said, it's just good to be past it. And as I said, both parties are happy.
Are both parties happy? I guess they are, right? No, I guess, well, who knows? We'll see. We'll find out sooner than later. Micah Parsons got traded. Micah Parsons got paid. Jerry Jones, well, I guess he's happy, as he mentioned, with Kenny Clark, as well as the two first-round picks that they got back. But let's also be honest. If you got to think about the picks, unless the Green Bay Packers completely hit the skids over the next several seasons, having a first-round pick from one of the best teams in the NFC, it ain't all that good. It's not like this is a horrific team. The Green Bay Packers are probably going to end up picking in the 20s somewhere. I don't know. What are we expecting from the 20s? The best players will be off the board. But Jerry Jones says, I remember when we traded Herschel Walker. And what we did was pretty much be able to launch a dynasty, be able to go ahead and bring in a guy like an Emmitt Smith. This is what Jerry Jones had to say about the trade and hoping that it turns into something like Herschel Walker.
Micah Parsons did an outstanding job for us for 4 years. And a little bit of the way Herschel Walker may have had his greatest contribution to the Cowboys, what he brought to us when he left could be a tremendous thing for our fans and the success of this team.
Could be, but I wouldn't bet on it. Possibly, but I would say that took place and occurred once. I don't think it's going to happen again. Jerry Jones just looks like he has egg on his face. This looks like Luka Doncic moving on, being traded from the Mavericks to the Los Angeles Lakers. This looks like part two. Like, I don't know, maybe the fans in Dallas, somebody did something wrong, but the fans in Dallas are the ones who have to pay for two transcendent players, two Hall of Fame caliber players being moved. Jerry Jones is nuts. Okay, this man is out of his mind. And then he said, I got no issue with Micah Parsons. And he says the football team is better by not having him. What?
Things are good here. Things are good here. We have just decided that it was in the best interest of our team to take the consideration that we have. We appreciate his 4 years, but we can take that consideration and we can win in our minds more than had we gone the other route and signed him. That's not a negative on Micah. That's just unique to our circumstances.
Unique to our circumstances. Yeah, getting rid of one of the best players in the league because of ego. Getting rid of one of the best players in the league who you could have signed to a contract last year and paid him less. Getting rid of one of the best players in the entire NFL just because your ego, you're old, you're senile, you're arrogant. You're punishing yourself. You're punishing the fans. And I get it. The guy has a team that's worth $15 billion. How can he be punished? Well, he's punishing that fan base. And I know if they had his way, I know if the Dallas Cowboys fans had their way, they would want Jerry Jones out of the building. Sometimes you got to know when enough is enough and it's time to loosen the reins. It's time for him to let go. But he's the boss. He owns the team. He can do whatever the hell he wants with the team. But he's punishing the fans. And you know what? By the time we get to week four, the Packers take on the Cowboys and Michael Parsons shows up and he's lined up opposite of Dak Prescott. Oh, Michael Parsons is going to go out there and punish them. Oh, it's going to be fun. They're going to have a solitary camera stuck on Jerry Jones in his face as he squirms, as he puts on a stone face, as he has no expression. Oh, that's going to be a game worth watching. NFL season, it starts in 2 days. We get the Cowboys, and then we get the Eagles. But in week four, we got the Packers and Micah in town. I'm looking forward to that one. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, sometimes these guys who are around a long time, they don't know when to pass the baton. And he doesn't need to give up the team, but he should have some help in coming in and owning it, running it, I should say. He's in too deep. He won't do it. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. And speaking of an old guy trying to, you know, move on, we saw what took place last night with Bill Belichick. An absolute beatdown. North Carolina smashed by TCU 48-14. To talk about what we saw last night, to think about what this team, North Carolina, may do moving forward, we're going to be joined by Grant Hughes. He covers all things Tar Heels for 24/7 Sports. Grant Hughes coming up next. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're in the midst of football, everything. It is September. College football, NFL football getting ready to start. And last night, we didn't see the brightest of things from Bill Belichick. Now coaching the college ranks with North Carolina. We saw what TCU did to him, 48-14. What the heck happens next? What happens the rest of the season? How do people in Chapel Hill, how do they feel about Bill Belichick and this entire situation? Joining us right now is someone who covers all things Tar Heels for 24/7 Sports. Welcome to the show, Grant Hughes. Grant, how are you? Appreciate the time.
Good. I'm glad to be here, JR. Thanks for having me on.
No doubt about it. I guess as an overall, and we get it. Last night was a blowout. We don't expect the Tar Heels to get smashed like that every game. What's the consensus about Bill Belichick and what we've seen up until now? It's, I don't want to say it's been rocky, but it's been rather interesting.
You're right on with that. I think after the hire happened, everyone in the Chapel Hill circle, we all called it an experiment all offseason. And no one quite knew how that would pan out. Week one with 72 new faces on the team. And honestly, that performance last night outside of the opening drive was nothing short of a disappointment.
Well certainly a disappointment. We know that they have the 49ers coming up next. When you take a look at the team, there was a lot that we got last night. All these reports now about sources and the talent on the team and scouts and what they see on the field. Do you think it's accurate to say that they don't have enough talent to be competitive this year to win, I don't know, 6-7 games?
I think, with their schedule, the schedule's manageable. You kind of get smacked in the face early by TCU, a team with a great returning quarterback, a team that could win the Big 12. They've got Charlotte coming up next. They've got Richmond coming up. Those are two games you should win before the schedule tightens up just a little bit, going to UCF and playing Clemson at home. But this is a team, it has talent. I underwent one of the largest roster overhauls that we've seen. The only thing comparable would be Deion Sanders at Colorado. The difference is Sanders brought in a Heisman Trophy winner with Travis Hunter and a prolific quarterback in his son Shador. And he had 3 years of coaching college, albeit at a lower level. But as it sits right now, the Tar Heels are number 31 in the 24/7 team talent composite. They should have the talent to put 6-7 wins together. They just got to figure it out and get it to gel.
Grant Hughes is joining us from Tar Heel 24/7 Sports. You talk about the talent. It was a beatdown yesterday, so we had an opportunity to see both QBs out there. It was just a couple days ago that Gio Lopez was named the starter, and then we saw a good amount of Max yesterday as well to go out there and get some reps in. It's early, but is there a possibility that Bill Belichick just says, you know what, I like what Max is doing better, or should we expect Gio to be out there more full-time?
I think one of the most disappointing parts of the game was Gio Lopez. This is a guy they gave reportedly 2 years, $4 million contract. They've got some high upside players behind him, four-star quarterbacks Bryce Baker and Torrey Newkirk. And they've signed a fringe five-star for the next class in Travis Burgess. They view Gio Lopez as a bridge guy, and not only a bridge guy, but a high floor guy. He might not be the ceiling, doesn't have the biggest of arms, but I don't think he's a guy they expected to go start 4 of 10 and throw a pick six early. And honestly, Max Johnson came in, he 14 dropbacks, he went 9 of 11 for 103 yards and a score. He faced pressure just like Gio Lopez did. It might not, four pressures, but, you know, TCU may have been going a little vanilla on defense, but at the end of the day, it might not be wouldn't be the first time that Belichick forgot the big contract and went with the backup quarterback.
No, well, we see, yeah, there was a guy one time, he got knocked the hell out of him by Mo Lewis, and then some Tom Brady guy came out of nowhere. Well, Grant, let me ask you this. You talk about being able to give any one of these guys the hook. Bill Belichick is what, on a five-year contract. Realistically, is this a year-to-year situation with Bill? Or he has to stick around a little, like 2 years minimum, right?
That's the belief. There's a lot of rumors and reports coming out this offseason that Belichick could be a one-and-done or might not even coach a game at UNC if the NFL came knocking. But honestly, with everything he and general manager Michael Lombardi said, he seems to be in for the long haul. This wasn't going to be a quick turnaround. Obviously, you would have wanted a better result against TCU on Monday, but you know, just like Deion Sanders in Colorado, they started 4-8 in the Big 12 last year, or the year before. They won 9 games last year. I think we can at least see Belichick, or at least should, for that first 3 guaranteed years of his contract. And after that, who knows? But I wouldn't expect him to go anywhere anytime soon. And one of the lone positives, JR, from the game, our guy Seth Gutman at Tar Heel 24/7, he interviewed a number of recruits and commitments after the game. The reviews, despite the outcome, they were all positive. They loved the game day atmosphere. They loved chopping it up with Lawrence Taylor and Julius Peppers pregame. Loved looking up, seeing Jordan in the stands. He said it was a whole new experience compared to the past regime. And a few recruits did mention the outcome of the game, but they took the approach of there's more work to be done. And they have trust in Belichick and co. to right the ship. They're still buying what he's selling, and they want to be part of the solution. And that's the kind of dudes he wants in Chapel Hill anyways.
Well, absolutely. So if we have to take a look at, you talk about the talent on the roster and then what we're hearing from some of the recruits, what should be one of the strengths that we see from this roster and team as the season continues on?
The offensive line was a question mark going in. It didn't help that they lost their starting center, Austin Blaski, in camp. The guy who replaced him, Christo Kelly, they moved from guard. He was banged up. I think they get those two guys back healthy. They got a decent stable of running backs. They looked to establish the run against TCU. Ultimately, it didn't work out. But I think moving forward, they'll figure something out in the run game as a classic Belichick coach team would. And then we all thought they'd be a little more stout on defense. The tackling wasn't great at all. It's actually quite embarrassing. They had a few quarterbacks get eaten up alive in the deep passing game. So I think their game plan moving forward is run the ball, figure out their situation at quarterback, try to shore up the tackling as best they can, and build an identity and build a foundation for the next year and moving forward.
Grant Hughes is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, covers all things North Carolina Tar Heels. Thinking about this year, you mentioned some of the upcoming matchups at the end of this month or the beginning of October. You got Central Florida, you got Clemson. What are you expecting from this team realistically? What should we expect in that win total space as they try to be competitive in the ACC?
Despite the outcome against TCU, a bowl game should still be the goal. And if they could get 6 wins, make it 7 in the bowl game, that would still end up being a pretty successful season for Carolina standards. I mean, they've got Charlotte and Richmond. That could get them to 2-1. UCF's up next, and that's going to be a little bit tougher. But, you know, realistically, if they get a few things figured out, they could be 3-1 with Clemson knocking on the door on October 4th. And then outside of that, California, Virginia, Syracuse, Stanford, Wake Forest, all beatable teams in the ACC. Syracuse probably being the best of those, and Virginia maybe looking a little bit better than we thought in week one. And then they end the season against two rivals in Duke and NC State. It's not going to be perfect. They'll probably drop some ones that maybe they should have won, but based on just the schedule alone, I'd say anything short of 6 wins and a bowl appearance would be a big disappointment in Chapel Hill.
Well, Grant, we're going to find out sooner than later. And I know all online, it's endless seeing the Jordan Hudson jokes. When it comes to actually being on the ground a little bit, has that kind of been pushed to the background, his personal relationship?
I think so. I think it was part of a little media hype throughout the offseason, kind of a new look. The age gap was talked about. And she was very visible shortly after he got to campus, and it stayed in the media cycle. But it blew up enough to where I think they kind of tucked her into the background a little bit. You didn't quite hear as much from her. But it still was maybe a little bit jarring to see her on the sidelines at a point last night. But other than that, I think more or less that she's going to be behind closed doors going forward.
Yeah, we'll see. If she's not, we're going to hear more about it. Hey, Grant, I appreciate the time. Where can people follow you and your work with 24/7 Sports?
We've got a new site up on 24/7 Sports. It's Tar Heel 24/7. We've got an excellent team of beat writers and inside reporters there. Personally, I'm at Grant Hughes NC on Twitter. I'm on the national desk for 24/7 Sports. You can see my VIP content on the homepage, and check us out. Anything Carolina basketball, anything Carolina football, anything Belichick is going to be on TarHeel247.com.
Hey, we appreciate you coming by and dropping the knowledge, Grant. We'll catch you down the line, okay?
Awesome. Thank you, JR.
No doubt about it. A big shout out and thank you to Grant Hughes coming through from 24/7 Sports. Covers all things Tar Heels, as you heard. Not just the football, but the basketball as well. And let's be real. Everybody knows that North Carolina and the Tar Heels, they've been known as a basketball school. They are a basketball school. So even to think about Bill Belichick being on the scene and to have this conversation now says a lot about the football program, which is, damn it, well, it's been in the background for good reason. They have not been good. And I think for Bill Belichick's sake and his legacy, if they don't win, is it going to be tarnished? You know, if Bill Belichick doesn't find some success here with the Tar Heels, are you going to look at Bill Belichick in a different way? 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. If Belichick fails, does his legacy as a coach take a hit? This is someone who coached with the Browns. That didn't end well. We saw what happened with the Patriots. That didn't end well despite all the success. Is he going to sandwich his Patriots career with another dud here? I'm going to also ask our producer, Ryan Botcher, his thoughts about that on the other side of the break. And then also, pretty cool, Grant Hughes brought up Deion Sanders and some of the changes that he's made over the years with the Colorado Buffaloes. It appears that Deion is already making another change. At quarterback, they just started playing. We're going to get into that on the other side of the break. Philadelphia Eagles are they refusing to accept what took place? Like, they're completely ignoring the fact that they just won a championship. They're basically almost bringing back the same damn roster. So we got a lot to get into. 888-710-4ISN is the number. What are your thoughts on Bill Belichick if he stinks this joint up in North Carolina? We'll talk more about that, get into some NFL. But right now on the Infinity Sports Network, it's time for a news flash. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. A big thank you to Grant Hughes from 24/7 Sports. Covers all things Tar Heels. Thank you to Grant for coming through in the last break to talk about Belichick, North Carolina, what that season, what their season might look like. And I mean, damn it, what we saw last night is they got stomped out by TCU 48-14. So thank you so much to Grant Hughes for coming by in the last break. You can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. You can call me as well, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You know, before we went to break, I posed the question about Belichick's legacy. And if this does not work, this, dare I say, experiment, to use a term from Grant, if the experiment doesn't work out with Bill Belichick, is he going to be looked upon as different? And I don't think so. I think people understand what he did in his NFL career, even with the Browns and going over to the New England Patriots. I remember people in Cleveland still hate this guy because of how he benched Bernie Kosar. They hated his guts. And so then he goes over to New England, and we already heard from Robert Kraft that, you know, he took a chance on Belichick. You know, nobody liked him. Nobody wanted him. And Belichick is like, damn it, I took a chance on the New England Patriots. You know, they were crap before I got there. Of course, we know what happened with Tom Brady and what have you. But that 20-year run, it, just how it ended, it didn't feel good. And then Bill Belichick going to North Carolina seems pretty cool. Okay, the guy doesn't have an NFL job. He wants to continue coaching. He goes to North Carolina. We hear all the wonderful stories about him and his dad and legacy and whatnot, and it's all good. But then we get the girlfriend stuff. And so I think that actually can be more damaging to Bill Belichick's legacy than anything going on with the football. People will always know about Belichick. I mean, damn it, we're so far deep into everything that he's accomplished. We don't even hear about Spygate or, you know, defending Tom Brady on Deflategate. Like, all of those stories are they're kind of old and past. People are looking at what's going on now. And I think the most damaging thing possibly to his legacy is this, the girlfriend, that even though she's a little bit more in the background now, I feel like that is the type of thing that people will look at Belichick and just go, man, you were just an old guy and, you know, you were feeling a tingle. And then he's like, oh, well, I needed to do that. I hope that's not the case. But I don't expect Belichick to be at North Carolina for more than 3 years. I think it'll be kind of here today, gone tomorrow, and then they'll move on. Who knows? Maybe it'll be another one of these cases of, hey, we all need to go our separate ways and we all need to move on. Because quite frankly, I don't see, especially as Bill Belichick continues to get older, I don't see him going back to the NFL. I think if there was a team and a place, he'd go back. But when you commanded the type of attention, when you ran the type of program that he did in New England, where he was the boss, ultimately, yeah, towards the end especially, he was the GM, there's an expectation that he doesn't report to anybody. And does anybody want to deal with that at the NFL level? Do they want to bring in a guy who's going to be the boss? Are you going to put your hands in the program and Bill Belichick's hands and say, this guy is going to get, you know, 3 to 4 years to try to run this? I think not. This is probably going to be the last stop for Bill Belichick on the coaching carousel. And maybe when he gets off, he can hang out with his girlfriend. Who knows? Yeah, and by the way, they did a trademark gold digger last week, so. And Bill Belichick is just making money all over the place, at least trying. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I want to ask our producer, Ryan Botcher. Ryan, do you think this, depending on how this goes with North Carolina, do you believe this could be damaging to his football legacy?
I think his legacy got tarnished the worst it could possibly when Tom Brady went to the Buccaneers and won a championship without him. Therefore, I guess, painting him as the sidekick to Brady's Superman or Batman. So what I think now, whatever he does now in North Carolina, I think it's just strategic marketing. Because you went to one, probably a top five marketable college, because you have the Jordan brand there, and then you have all of the celebrities that are connected to there. So you go there, you go to a division where you're not going to have to compete immediately, because North Carolina has not been competitive. And now you have the girlfriend fiasco, too, where she's trying to market everything off of him. It just paints a perfect picture where his passion for winning is gone, and he's just trying to drain out everything he can from football before he's done.
Yeah, this is what he's done. He's coached. This guy doesn't know anything else. I mean, outside of maybe sitting around and telling you about the Navy, I don't know what else he would find in life. And so he's going off of that big hit. Now, I will say that he's been very open, and most coaches are, about, hey, I can only coach the guys who are in front of me. Is Bill Belichick the sidekick to Brady? I don't think that revealed too much. I mean, ultimately, you can only work with the talent that you have on the field, and Bill Belichick would tell you as much. If I didn't have a Tom Brady, then, yeah, there's a good chance I wouldn't be out here winning all this. And we can look at a guy like Steve Kerr. I mean, the benefit of him, it was nice to coach guys like Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson. It certainly makes life a little bit easier. I think by the time his tenure is done in North Carolina, it'll be a blip, and hopefully there's no controversies here. Hopefully the biggest controversies have already come between Bill Belichick and his girlfriend's situation. So we'll see what these Tar Heels do. There's a full expectation, and then the next game, that they go out there and beat the 49ers. It's tough to have a big name, big results, and big expectations. Speaking of expectations, damn it, on Friday, we saw the Buffaloes in action against the team right down the block from me, Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech went out there and beat them, and we know Deion Sanders, people are trying to see what he does with these Buffaloes without his son, without Travis Hunter. And it wasn't good. 27-20 on Friday. And apparently, before the Colorado Buffaloes get ready to take on Delaware, which they are probably going to beat the living hell out of, they should, Deion Sanders is making some adjustments here. We just found out last week, he's like, hey, Caden Salter is going to be our guy at quarterback, and that we should expect to see a kind of sprinkling in of Julian Lewis, who's, well, he's inexperienced. He's a freshman. He just got here. This is experience. But I guess they want to use this game against Delaware as a petri dish to see what he can do. He's expected to get a lot of action. Now, they're not exactly saying in Colorado, we're going to beat the snot out of Delaware, but they do want to see what Lewis can do out there. And Deion, he said, expect to see him on the field. We may switch it up. Listen to what he said.
Caden is the starter, obviously, but right. You expect to see Julian at some point this season.
Yeah, he's playing. He's playing this week for sure.
What do you expect to see?
I know when I'm going to see him.
What's that?
You just don't know when you're going to see him.
Well, obviously, you don't want to, break the strategy of what you're going to do. You don't want to give away the state secrets to Delaware. Not that I think it's going to matter. And Deion says, you'll see him. I know when we'll see him. You don't. But at the same time, I'm not throwing him to the wolves out there. Listen to this.
We take one thing at a time. I just told you he was playing. Now you saying he's starting. Come on, dog. Work with me, baby. You know, just work with me. Work with me. He's playing, all right? He's playing. You gotta understand, I love that kid, man. I really do. And I want him to be extremely successful. Sometimes you don't want to rush things. Sometimes you don't want to delay things. You want to make sure the timing is right. I don't think the time was appropriate last week. I really don't. At the way the game was flowing, the rhythm of the game. But this week, I made up my mind already before. Now, he's going to play. So I don't give a damn about the flow or nothing. He's playing.
Well, we'll see what that looks like. We can expect him to play against Delaware, okay? Be a glorified practice for him. Speaking of big names and big coaches, we saw what happened to Alabama losing to FSU. We talked about that. Well, let's just also say that Nick Saban, he wasn't happy on College Game Day after that L. Listen, okay, we'll get to that cut with Nick Saban. But bottom line is, Alabama, 9-4 last year. Kalen DeBoer is looked upon as the guy that needs to, try and I don't want to say carry the torch for Alabama football, but I think he'll be out the door. There's no way in hell that you can take a look at an Alabama football team, all the years, all the success with Nick Saban, and out all of a sudden, they take on an FSU, and they give up 31 points. Look, good for Alabama. They got Louisiana Monroe next. That'll give them an opportunity to beat up on a team. People will look at Alabama, and they want to see what they do against the Georgia Bulldogs. And I can tell you, being right here in the road, Athens down the road from me, there's been a lot of years that people in Georgia looked at Alabama and said, man, are we finally going to beat them? And they did a couple of seasons ago. But now it's a foregone conclusion that they should do so. Okay? Let's see what the Crimson Tide does against Georgia. We got to wait a while for that. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll hear from Saban. He's not happy. Now we'll hear from Nick Sirianni. He just won a championship. For whatever reason, he's not happy. We got a lot to get into. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.